Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Angel Talk Cafe with Joy on Blog Talk Radio, your connection to the angelic realm. So for the next hour, sit back, relax, grab your favorite beverage, and let's talk.
Hello and welcome. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Joy, your host, and welcome to our Halloween show. Our listener call-in number is 646-652-2656. Again, that number is 646-652-2656. Sign up for our newsletter, Notes from Above. First-time listeners will receive a free gift from the Bundle of Joy, and please be sure to include your physical address in order to receive the gift. In honor of tonight's Halloween show, we are given two books from the Bundle of Joy, Haunted Newport by Elaine Austin Sharp, who is a longtime supporter of Angel Talk Cafe, and is host of her own bi-monthly radio show, Blog Talk. On Blog Talk, Color Healing Radio. The other book that is being gifted is by our very special guests on tonight's show, Ghosts of Long Island 2, More Stories of the Paranormal, written by Carrie Ann Flanagan Broski. Also joining us in the cafe is Joe Giaquinto, paranormal investigator, who works alongside Carrie Ann. They will be joining us shortly. Join in the chat room with our beautiful extra small medium for a spectacular time in the chat room. She will be playing trivia tonight, and trivia is going to not be our regular angel trivia, but our Halloween trivia. So pay attention, everybody. Tonight's featured archangel is Azrael, whose name means whom God helps. His aura is vanilla cream or very pale yellow. The crystal associated with Archangel Azrael is creamy yellow calcite. When Azrael is around, you may see eggshell-colored twinkling lights in the room. Archangel Azrael's primary angelic responsibility is to assist those who are making the transition from physical life to spirit life. Azrael ensures that the transition process is painless and effortless, and helps people to cross over to heaven and helps them assimilate on the other side. In addition to assisting those who are transitioning from the physical plane to spirit, Archangel Azrael brings universal healing energy, love, and comfort to those who are grieving the loss of a loved one. Azrael holds this space with deep honor and respect and considers this a very sacred service. Understanding that grief is a natural and also a very personal process, Archangel Azrael comes with great compassion and wisdom. Archangel Azrael's angelic duties naturally include assisting grief counselors and assisting those whose life purpose involves mediumship. If you have lost a loved one, call upon Archangel Azrael during sleepless nights of anxious grieving. When you toss and turn, he can ease your restless mind and help you sleep. A rested mind and body is stronger and more able to withstand the grieving process. So do not hesitate to call on Archangel Azrael for prayers, assistance, or intercession during times of need. So I encourage you to work with Archangel Azrael. Diane,
yes,
you and I were talking earlier, and you had another take on working with Archangel Azrael.
I do. You know, I don't just call on him when I'm working with clients who are grieving the loss of a deceased loved one, but I also view it as being like the end of a relationship, grieving the end of a relationship, or maybe it's the end of, say, a job. It could be the end of anything that causes you any kind of pain or grief. You know, as you begin to open up to a new chapter, as you open up to a new chapter, in your life, you can call on Azrael for this. He heals grieving hearts no matter what the source of the grief.
I thought that was a fantastic take on that. So you can use Archangel Azrael if you're suffering any type of loss, any type of grief process, call upon him, especially when you're having those sleepless nights, that anxiety that you might have.
Right there.
Diane, and we also work with Archangel Azrael during our mediumship, the work that we do when we work with Earthbound. And tonight's special Halloween show is talking about Earthbound, talking about ghosts. And so I want to take just a moment, and Diane, can you explain to our listeners how we as mediums, when we're working with Earthbound, because one of the things that we do is cross them over. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Right. Well, as spiritual mediums, you know, we work differently than, say, a modern-day medium or like the some of the TV shows that you see, even the show Medium. I mean, I think that she does cross over. I'm going to be honest, I've never seen the show. But part of the work as a light worker, as a spiritual medium, is all healing. We start with healing. And when we have an earthbound spirit present, as a rule, as psychic mediums, as empathic mediums, we sense them, we feel them immediately. For me, I know there's an earthbound in the room because I can feel discordance and disharmony in their presence. It's not like that peaceful feeling you get when you've brought in someone's DLO. You can feel human emotions again, which is when we cross over, we shed those human emotions, we shed that ego. So we now know that we're in the presence of an earthbound, and our job as healers is to cross them over. I remember listening to a wonderful recording not too long ago from the direct voice medium, Leslie Flint, and the mediums in the circle, of course, he's channeling the voice of somebody on the other side, and the mediums in the circle were asking this entity, what did it feel like to be earthbound? And it was the saddest thing, Joy, that I ever heard in my life. I cried. This voice was saying he lived, at the time, in infinite darkness. He could hear and sense other earthbound spirits around him, but he could not see them, touch them, wasn't able to communicate with them. It was this infinite darkness. So there is no rest in that earthbound, right? We jobs as healers are to heal them, move them on, give them that peace that they're looking for. And that's what you and I do, as well as many, many other spiritualist mediums all around the world.
Diane, let's take a moment and talk about why somebody, when they don't cross, why don't they cross? There's different reasons, which we'll segue right into who we have on our show tonight.
That's right.
When there's, you know, an earthbound doesn't cross for many reasons. It could be for a tragic accident, trauma. It could be that, you know, fear, what maybe their religious upbringing was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things that they may have done, and this upbringing, they're afraid to go into the light, to cross over. Out of fear.
Right, the fear of judgment. You know what big one I come across with a lot of my clients is, and it's not meant directly, you know, they don't intend it, but the living frequently hold them back with their grieving when they won't let go.
Exactly, you're right. You're right.
We saw this on September 11th, right?
Oh, major, major, major.
Yeah.
And so sometimes unknowingly the loved ones can keep them here. Many times they don't go because they stay to help, thinking they need to be there for that loved one. Or there's unfinished business. They didn't finish something they wanted to finish. So there's many, many reasons why they don't cross. That's just a few. And so what happens when they don't cross, they stay stuck, and some ghosts can earthbound ghosts, same thing, can wreak havoc in homes.
Right.
And so that is why we have on tonight's show, as mentioned earlier, and I want to get them on the air, Joining us in the cafe tonight is Carrie Ann Flanagan Broski, along with Joe Giaquinto. Welcome, Carrie Ann and Joe.
Thank you for having us on the show. It's good to talk to you, Joy and Diane, and we'd love to speak to you about this wonderful topic.
Hi, Joy and Diane. How are you tonight?
Hi, Joe.
Hi, Joe. Welcome. You know, Carrie Ann and Joe, it's a fascinating topic, especially this time of year. And we know that it's rampant. I mean, we know there are earthbound all around. And your book, Ghosts of Long Island 2, More Stories of the Paranormal, what I found so fascinating, of course, with Diane, is two of the stories that are in this book, Diane has actually been there.
Mm-hmm.
And she has pictures. So I have,
I have pictures to prove it. No, I go there all the time.
Which place is this?
Well, the Grist Mill, because my favorite hangout is right there in Avalon at the Duck Pond.
Okay, and that's in Stony Brook, Long Island, New York.
Mm-hmm. And the St. James General Store is another one I've been going to since I'm a little kid.
Mm-hmm. Stony Brook and St. James are very active places. It's very historic.
Mm-hmm.
We tend to attract a little bit more as far as spirits are concerned in historical areas because we have preserved the history. And a lot of times, if the ghost was happy at that point, they'd like to stay in the area where they had been.
And it's a very violent area, too, both of them, because they were so active during the Revolutionary War.
That's
correct.
There's
a lot of violent time, right?
Exactly. And what I've done with both books, I always say I'm a historian first and a ghost investigator second. So both books really have a lot. It's very heavy on American history, the Battle of Long Island, the American Revolution, our Native American past. So I really have a lot of different stories in both books that have to do with the history as well as the ghost stories.
Oh, and the Montauk Manor is the other one that I've been
mm-hmm.
in. And
right.
I didn't see the Indian chief, but I hung quite a few presences there.
Exactly.
Okay, and Joe, you are a paranormal investigator, and you actually have a group that works with you.
Yes, that's right. We have various teams. I have a unique group where we bring in people that have been on the team for a while and also bring in people that want to sit in as observers, and they can have, pay for access to be in the group. So it's sort of like going on a historic tour. The difference is that they're actually being able to participate in and witness the phenomena and go through the motions of we actually give them things to do, too. So they might use a ghost meter or record EVPs, or they may participate directly in the investigation. Mm-hmm.
Joe, one of the questions I have for you, what tools do you use on your investigations?
Well, we use a variety of tools. I think one distinction that I make with my team is that we don't we use more of our innate, intuition and our mediumship and our channeling abilities, basically our sixth senses versus a lot of gadgets, because the spirits like to monkey around with electronic equipment. So anything that has to do with the ability to get a message across to us through a recording or a photograph or a camcorder or something like that, they'll do that. But we try not to get too deeply into gadgets. We use a lot of our own sensitivity as humans because I kind of feel that we're actually our best ghost hunters. Our best ghost hunting equipments are ourselves because we are spirits in a body. So we actually have the same abilities that an in-spirit person would have.
You know, I'm going to totally agree with you on that.
You
know, I'm addicted to some of these TV shows that do the paranormal investigation.
Yes.
And it's like, okay, so if it doesn't show up on the meter or, then it's like they discount it. And it's like, that drives me crazy because as a medium, we talked earlier, Diane and I will sense, we're experienced enough that we've worked with earthbounds enough to know that we know when they're there, and we are actually able to communicate with them.
Yes.
And I understand that you do communicate with the ghosts, that you actually hear them clairaudiently?
Yes, I do. I would like to make one one important point that I think Gary and I take a very human approach to investigation and to the type the spiritual connection, that we feel that that approaching them, they are human souls, so for the most part. So we take the approach that these are people, we would treat them with respect. And I think a lot of what you see, not all the time, but I think some of what you see maybe on TV tends to make almost a circus show out of the spirits. Mm-hmm. So it's like almost like performed for us now, which I think is demeaning to the people that are there on the other side. And so I think by going in there as people and having respect for the person or persons that are we're trying to connect to, I think we get better results. What do you think, right, Carrie-Anne?
Yeah, I definitely agree. And in fact, Joe and I even refer to them more as spirits than we do ghosts. And the other thing that we have learned is that there is actually 10 different types of ghosts, and I have this listed in Ghost 1. It was written by a very famous paranormal investigator named Peter Underwood. And as you had mentioned earlier, people often think that a ghost is someone that has died tragically and is stuck here and can't cross over to the other side. That is one of the types of ghosts, and that's what I think you and Diane do, Joy, is to try to help these spirits move on to the other side. What Joe and I do, we often come in contact with that type of spirit, but we have also found that spirits can and do coexist with us on the earth plane. For instance, you can have a relative, a father, a son, an aunt, uncle, grandparent, in your home, let's say, for a short period of time. So it depends, you know, what you believe in. I mean, I was born and raised Catholic. I'm a practicing Catholic, and I believe in heaven. So if heaven is a perfect place, then why can't these spirits come back and forth when we need them and help us on our own life's journey? So that alone is something that's not really covered on a lot of these television shows.
Mm-hmm,
as you had mentioned, they want to prove or disprove the existence of a so-called ghost. But what Joe and I want to do is basically just have that communication, whether it is one of those traditional type ghosts that are stuck here or whether it's one that we just make contact with who's in passing, who's just curious about what we're doing or wants to spend time with a lost love, you know, with someone who's still on the earth plane. So it really, I've come to understand this, that you can't really put it down as one specific definition. And so Joe and I really try to put that across, you know, put it out there to people when we lecture and we do book signings, that there's all different types and there's different ways of handling each situation.
Carrie, as a photojournalist, have you caught apparitions or anything like that on film?
Sure. We actually have, I don't know, maybe two in each book. Joe has gotten some and I've gotten some. We actually have never, at least I haven't, seen it straight on. Like I haven't walked into a room and seen an apparition. I have gotten a photograph or two of like a little girl, something like that, that I've noticed on my film at a later point. Now, as Joe has taught me, and I know he'll agree, that it takes a lot of energy for an apparition to form. So what's more common in today's day are orbs, and I'm sure you're aware of what those are and many of your listeners are, which are the light anomalies that appear on the on your cameras, and regular everyday people are getting orbs. And there are a lot of skeptics out there that say, well, it's a dust particle, it's this and that. But my degree is actually in photography, so I'm a professional photographer. I know what I'm dealing with as far as my equipment is concerned. I know my environment. If you have a dust particle, it's going to be on every frame, and it's not going to be translucent. So we capture a lot of orbs. I mean, I have a box of photos at home that have orbs, and I have certain ones that follow me. I mean, I've taken photographs where I could actually recognize the orb. I've taken them in my backyard, in Montauk, on Long Island, in Florida, in North Carolina, and I can actually recognize it. So maybe it's a spirit guide, maybe it's an angel, maybe it's my father who passed away almost 5 years ago, or anyone else who could be helping me on my journey. So Joe and I get a lot of orb photos and just a few apparitions.
Okay. Very interesting. I want to let those that are on the line know that Carrie Ann and Joe will be taking your calls. So if you want to ask them a question, make a comment, please press 1 on the keypad so that will let me know that you are wanting to talk with our very special guests. Diane, how's the chat room going?
You know what, Joy, we're having a little difficulty, myself included. We keep getting booted out.
Oh.
It's disconnecting. But Joe's here, so we're getting our coffee and we're getting our donuts.
Okay. Our cyber coffee, that's always good.
We have a resident comedian and waiter in our chat room who's also next to Joe.
I'm having a little tonight.
Yeah, I'm having a little difficulty. I'm hanging in there, and Archangel Michael is just going to take care of these problems for me, and there's going to be no more problems here, right, Michael? We're done with
it. Okay, bring in Archangel Michael. And Diane, please post the number, which is 646-652-2656. Bring them onto the line, so we want to talk with them tonight if they have any questions. Carrie Ann and Joe, what I'd like to ask you about, what's been your most significant or unique experience that you've had on an investigation?
There's been so many. Joe and I have actually investigated 60 places at this point. I've written about 60. Joe came on just about all of them, and each investigation is different. We've had different experiences in different places. It's sort of hard to tell. I don't know. What would you say, Joe? What would stand out in your mind? I mean, one for me, we spent a lot of time in Strong's Neck, which is north of Setauket on Long Island, and it's a very spiritual place. It's very heavy with the Native American past as well as the American Revolution. And Joe and I could actually feel the difference in the energy when we go to that area. We've walked the paths where the Culper Spy Ring has walked, where the Indians have walked, and where the British, the Redcoats, have come. So that was a very unique experience for us, wouldn't you say, Joe?
Yes, it was. God, there's so many things I can think of. I mean, so many of them, they're so different and so memorable. But going to the one you were talking about, I think that rainy day when we were out there, I think the two things. One was when you came by and you were joining me, you know, we were going to do the investigation with the Indian chief, and you saw me dancing around in a circle getting smudged, and
yes, exactly.
You said, what the heck is going on? It was must have been inhaling something there. And that was kind of fun, sitting on the medicine wheel blanket and talking about the four points of the compass. And the and then that one part where she was talking about the people crossing during, you know, crossing from one part to the other across the land and the water, and suddenly a hawk flew overhead and cried out, just like right on cue. And
exactly.
Carrie, why don't you tell them about are the hawk story, because I think that was kind of memorable.
Exactly. Well, it's very interesting what Joe was talking about. We had interviewed Chief Gail Revis of the Settlecott Indians, and originally we set out to talk to her about Strong's Neck, about more of these Native American stories. But she was so interesting that I decided to give her her own chapter, because it turned into a very spiritual story. And Joe is right. I arrived a couple of minutes after him, and Chief Revis was adorned in this gorgeous Indian outfit. I mean, from head to toe, she was an Indian. And it was so remarkable to listen to her and how she became a medicine woman, and how there's a lot of connection between the animal world and the spirit world. And since then, Joe and I have taken note at times that if we're feeling down, or if we're unsure of something, or if we have a decision to make, we do happen to notice hawks coming about. And we had two of them fly right over us after we had an experience not far away from there in Stony Brook, Long Island, at the William Sidney Mount House. And we saw a door open and close. And Joe started talking to who we believe was the painter, William Sidney Mount. And right after that, to sort of confirm what had happened, two hawks flew by. So our experiences always vary. I mean, those are places where we've had experiences. But the other big part of this have been the people that we have actually interviewed. And the stories, many of them are very emotional. Joe and I spent many, many hours talking to a couple whose son had died when he was 30 years old of diabetes, and both of them had experienced things in the home for years and never told the other one. Now, this is a couple that was married, I don't know, 40, 50 years. And Joe and I sort of helped them to deal with the grieving process and deal with what had happened with their son. The son, we believe, felt like it wasn't really his time to go, and it was difficult for him, and I think he wanted his story known. So our experiences range from going to these amazing historical places and then also interviewing people about real life, what you would call like a modern day type ghost story. So each thing is very different. A commonly asked question that we get at lectures, is it scary? Is it negative? Well, it's like anything else in life. Joe and I stay away from anything that's negative, that's demonic. It's just not what we do. Everything we've done has been positive. And we also, we don't go into a room and pots and pans are flying around and things like that. We have had situations where lights would flicker or doors would open and close, but most of what we do has been very subtle communication. So that's why it's sort of hard to pinpoint any one story, because we just love them all, and they've all been different, and they've all taught not only us something about the spirit world and the afterlife, but we've been able to share it with our readers and teach them something else too, and just to prove that there is life after death.
Yes. Can I just jump in here? Just so you know, we have five people on the line. One of them is in spirit. I just heard an EVP while Carrie Ann was talking to somebody who just said yes with a kind of a guttural voice. I've heard this. It's the common type of kind of white noise voice that you get. And so for what it's worth, we may have more than the four of us on the line. He actually agreed with Carrie Ann as she was talking, and I heard him through your station, so.
Joe and I are used to going around with a crowd.
You know, this same thing happens with us, and Joy, we refer to Joy as being an earthbound magnet. She tends to, find them. They find her.
You know, it's funny. You talk about memorable experiences. The first experience I had with my clairaudience, which is a form of mediumship where you hear the spirit just as we're talking, I was in the computer room in the office working, and I was on the phone with a client actually out in California, and down by Laguna Hills, and he had put me on hold, and he was in a manufacturing plant, and you could hear a die stamping machine cranking out parts, metallic parts being stamped out in the background, so it was very rhythmic, and I was listening to the machine going, and suddenly I heard this voice say, "Talk to Joe, talk to Joe, talk to Joe," every time the machine stamped out a part. So it was so loud and clear and class A, which would be the best type of EVP. And I just dropped the phone. I ran into the kitchen where my parents were having dinner, and I said, "You're not going to believe it. I just heard a live spirit talking without having to play, you know, record it first." And my dad was in the middle of eating spaghetti, he had the fork halfway to his mouth, and he stopped. He looked up at me, and he said, "That's nice, son. What else is new?" I realized that our experiences sometimes when we sit with other people, they just, unless they've had that experience or been there with us, they don't really get the depth of the experience.
Well,
There's a few things that I can add to that, both from experience and from dealing with Joe. When Joe first told me about EVPs, I didn't know really what to think of them. I mean, I was very open to things. I did believe in ghosts and spirits. But on our very first investigation, Joe had been late. We had a lot of bad weather here on Long Island, and I was conducting the interview by myself, and I got my first Class A EVP, and I was completely shocked. I played it for my husband, for my mother, for my friends, everyone I knew, and everyone heard this voice of this young girl speaking directly into the recorder, and it was almost as if I needed that validation to continue on with Joe to know that this does exist. And we have played the EVPs for live audiences, and they have heard them. And the other thing that's interesting with the books is that they're interactive. We have our websites on the back of the book, and if you go to Joe's website, on the left-hand side, you'll see EVPs from Ghost 1 and Ghost 2. So we put them out there that the reader could actually now listen to the EVPs while going through the book, and we list the chapter and what you should be hearing. And again, we leave it up to you, to the listener, to the reader, to decide whether or not you hear it or whether or not you believe. We just put the evidence out there. And that's what's been interesting about this, too, because people always say to us that, oh, we wish we could come with you on investigations. And because of that fact, how I've written the book, especially with Ghost 2, is that I've taken this nonfiction book and tried to make it read more like a fiction, like a novel. I've taken the reader on the actual journey so they could experience with Joe and I what we went through, what we saw, what we felt, what we heard, who we interviewed, and there's a lot of back and forth conversation. Sometimes it's very funny. So I give the reader all aspects of Joe and I and the relationship we have with what we do. And so we really try to bring out as many experiences as possible.
Carrie Ann, this is Joy. I think you did an excellent job with that, because as I read it, it's like I'm there. I know exactly what you're describing, the conversations that took place. And for those that might be new to this, the EVPs are electronic voice phenomena that is recorded when on a voice recorder, and so it plays back, just to kind of clarify that. But the book was well written, and it is like you're there. Carrie Ann, can you give out your website for our listeners so they can check it out?
Sure. It's www.ghostsoflongisland.com, and Long Island is spelled out. And then to listen to the EVPs, you can go to Joe's website, which is www.joegpi.com. And
okay.
Also, we have links to one another. So if you just get one, you know, the listener can go in and out of both of our websites.
Okay. And just to make sure, Diane, after the show tonight, for those that want to talk more, you can go to angeltalkcafe.com. And Diane is hoping to get the pictures, her pictures of the grist mill, posted on the blog on angeltalkcafe.com. And she is saying you can see the faces there.
Mm-hmm.
We were hoping to get them up. We're still hoping to get them up on our blog.
Okay. We had gotten some orb photos at the grist mill.
Yeah, you know, I should look in the computer and see if I still have them. But we like to behind the mill. Whenever I go out behind the mill, when you're down by the marsh before it opens up into the harbor there, I definitely get the sense I'm being watched. And big Native American area, as you well know.
Absolutely.
Right?
That's,
you can feel it, right, Joe?
Yes, Carrie Ann. Remember when, Carrie Ann, we first did our walk around, we were taking some photos of the back marsh there?
Mm-hmm.
I thought that area was so spiritual. And,
yeah.
We frequently have encountered Native American, you know, contact.
We were taking pictures across the stream, just opposite the mill there, where the wheel goes around, and right into the forest. And we brought the pictures home, and I turned them into negative form on my program.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see, clear as day, a soldier walking towards us. He's got a musket in his hand. I hope I can find that picture.
Yeah, I would love to see it.
But the one that I'd like to show is I've always, every time I go back there, whomever I'm with, I say, there's a woman up in that second floor watching me.
Exactly, that's where she is.
She has given me the name Mary. I don't know if you discovered her or what, but she has given me the name Mary on more than one occasion.
Mm-hmm.
And I have snapped a photo. I just blew it up after all these years. I see a face in there that is not an adult woman, but is a small child. You can see the little, like, Dutch boy haircut.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's clear as day.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, my graphics girl is in the chat room right now. And I'm Dita, you're getting the picture as soon as we get offline here tonight. I need you to get this picture up and circle that DLO that I see on there.
Oh, amazing. There's definitely been a woman that has been seen there.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and this is Joe. I just wanted to throw something out, which may be a little radical, and Carrie Ann, she knows where I'm coming from with this stuff, but a lot of people, everyone wants to capture a picture of a ghost, of a spirit, and when we see a picture in the woods or a face in the window, we always think, that's the person, you know, that's the spirit, the person who passed on, And I would throw out just a challenge to everyone here that everything spirits do goes, it's very purposeful. What I mean by that is if you take the human approach again, people do things, it's a messaging system. They want to let us know who they are or what they represent. They're trying to get a message to us. So when you see a picture, it can purposely be drawn by a spirit. It doesn't mean you're actually seeing an imprint of a ghost, like sort of the old pictures we see in the Hans Holzer books, the Dark Knight in the Abbey floating over the ruins in Scotland or Ireland or England or somewhere. They're putting that information, that picture information, they're monkeying around with our camera at the time the picture is being taken, when that computer imagery is forcing, creating that image out of the atmosphere. So it's just a slight thing, but I think what that means is that there are a lot more opportunities to communicate with spirits in the photography area than people think, that they have to somehow catch a ghost off guard and catch their picture. And I contend that pictures are put there for people that wish to communicate, and it's done purposely. And it's a great thing because it means that you're actually connecting with the spirit.
Great.
We have a question from the chat room.
Oh, good.
Well, you were just going to ask me that, right?
Yes, I was.
I am such a good psychic. Look at me go. Color Healing Radio, who's our... the other author who has donated a book tonight for our bundle of joy, wants to know if when you go out on your investigations, do either of you or both of you, do you use any amulets or gemstones or essential oils? Do you use anything like that for protection?
I usually wear a rosary bracelet, but I'm pretty firm in my own faith and my beliefs and everything that I already feel pretty protected. And again, as I mentioned earlier, is that Joe and I really stay away from anything that is negative. In fact, we have a secret code word that we've developed that I don't think we've really had to use before, that if we feel a situation is not good, whether it's dealing with human beings or with the spirit world, that we know that it's time to go and that we'll just wrap it up and go. So we really are very careful with what spirits we connect with. Just as you would be, with certain people in the world that you know who's sort of, not really all there, that you might have to avoid. It's the same thing with the spirits, and we trust what we're doing, and I've never once felt threatened or anything of that nature.
Mm-hmm. Good. Thank you, Carrie Ann.
This is Joy. Carrie Ann or Joe, have either one of you ever been pushed by...
I haven't been pushed, but I did have an interesting experience with a spirit pushing my camera off of a table. And Joe and I were out at Lloyd's Antiques out in Eastport, and we were interviewing Lloyd about his great-great-great-great Uncle Levi, who is a peddler and a practical joker, and he presumably haunts the antique store to this day. And he said that he would always knock things over, and Lloyd is a great guy. He's a character himself, and we had a lot of fun interviewing him. And towards the end of the day, he said, well, I have to leave, my daughter's in the shop, but you guys can go up and take a look around, and if you're lucky, maybe Levi will knock something over for you. So I sort of chuckled as if, yeah, right, whatever. And well, that's the last time that I sort of poke fun in a way, because I went upstairs with Joe and we were walking around, and I was shooting, this was for Ghost One, so I was shooting with a film camera, a big Nikon camera, and I also had a little digital camera. So I've had this equipment for 20-something years, and I've never banged it, dropped it, nothing. I've been so careful with it. And I was attached with the battery pack, and I had put the camera down in the middle of the table. I had just taken a picture, and then I had put the camera down, and I didn't move. I didn't walk away from the table. I put it in the center of the table, and all I did was lift up my little digital to take a picture. And next thing you know, the camera went flying off the table and crashed to the ground. Luckily, it was okay. I was so startled. I had some damage to the flash, but Joe ended up getting an EVP, and which he believes is Levi, which he could tell you about. But I've never been pushed personally, but that I would say is the closest where I've come in contact with a spirit doing something I guess, at me kind of thing. I mean, what would you say, Joe?
Yeah, you mean from being pushed or nudged or
right.
anything?
Mm-hmm.
I've had some physical experiences, different times, different places. Most times it's very subtle. Sometimes the feeling your chair is being pushed, or we had an interesting experience at a haunted farmhouse in Huntington on a follow-up visit where we actually felt the whole floor, just the floor weighed down as if a giant animal came into the room. And we then had a EVP right after that of a horse whinnying, and there were some more events, phenomena that happened. But Carrie and I both had feelings of being touched or, you know, pushed slightly, but nothing major, not like, you know, you hear these dramatic events where people get knocked over. Or
right. And what I've
like
experienced
that.
As time went on, when I was writing the books, I experienced some clairsentience, which means that you can sense that the spirits are around you. You can't see, hear them. You almost feel like you're losing your mind, because it's one of those feelings where you know that someone's in your space, you know, when someone's either a close talker or talking too close, or just in your immediate area, and what that feeling is. Well, I would feel that at times when there was no one around. I'd also get sensations down my arm, my left arm, and the top of my head, like a tingling sensation, which sort of gave me an indication that there was some other spirit with me at the time when I was working. But outside of that, I mean, Joe, as he mentioned, he does a lot of investigations constantly with his group, so he's had a lot more physical type experiences than I have. But as he said, it's mainly subtle mm-hmm. things.
Okay. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back more with Carrie Ann and with Joe.
This is an Angel Talk Cafe archive moment.
This is your host, Joy, again, taking a look back at an episode on ghost busting with special guest Megan Riley.
We went in the house, and I had been given a little bit about, the only thing I had been told was the priest wouldn't go back there anymore either. And the people were getting ready to sell the house, and by this time, everybody was sleeping in the living room. Nobody would even sleep upstairs anymore. So when I got there, you know, we met with the client and talked with her, and I noticed in the corner they had a pet snake. Now, to me, that was scarier than any ghost that we encountered that day. It was big, and I'm not a snake person, but I thought, you're afraid of a ghost when you've got this huge snake sitting in the corner. And what had happened is they had started renovating the home. And what we had determined was the owner, who had since crossed over, well, since passed but did not cross over, wanted to stay with the home. And when they started adding on, he did not like us. And so there was a lot of activity that took place. And people, you know, when they would have guests over, all of a sudden they would hear banging, like somebody was picking up the bed and banging it on the floor. And everybody just ran out the front door.
Wow.
And as we were clearing the house and doing what we do, the doors would pop open on us. And at that point, we'd start, you know, all over again. He went. You know, we just had to explain to him that, you know, he needed to go to the light. And he eventually went. But he did not like the house being renovated. And a lot of times, that's what will stir them up.
Welcome back. You're listening to Angel Talk Cafe with Joy. And our very special guest tonight is Carrie Ann Flanagan-Broski and Joe Giaquinto. Diane, how is the chat room doing?
Well, we just got our first trivia winner, and I'm really excited about this, Joy, because this means a lot to me that Dina showed up in the chat room tonight, because she never misses. It's her ghost show that she watches on Wednesday night. I can't think of the name of it, whichever one is on Wednesday.
I know which one it is.
So I'm so grateful. I'm so excited that she showed up. And she actually won our first trivia. She was paying attention to Joe when he was talking, and I asked what an EVP was. And she gave us the answer, so she will be emailing you.
Okay, great. Make sure she includes the physical address.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we'll
and, do. Okay, great. Joe, I have a question for you. This is Joy.
Mm-hmm.
Who is Melissa?
Oh, Melissa is a spirit that I contacted in probably late 2005, early 2006. She is a communicator that stepped forward. I was doing some sort of old Eastern religion rites, and she came through, and then I started getting EVPs from her. And then at that point, my clairaudience started developing to where I could hear the spirits talking, you know, live. Even if I was recording them, I'd still hear them live. And she started stepping forward. So we got into a dialogue, and then she sort of just hung around. And I asked her once why she hangs around. She says, because one reason was she thinks I'm very funny. And the other reason is she says she thinks I need help. So she wants to keep me out of trouble. And I'll give you an example of that is once we were, I was coming back from some friends who were driving my Jeep down the 5 freeway, or actually the 73 freeway, you know, by Laguna Canyon there. And I was going a bit fast, I heard her voice. She said, you know, how fast are you going, Joe? So I looked at the speedometer, and sure enough, I was going pretty quick. So I decided to back down, and right after I did that, I passed a California Highway Patrol on a bike. They had his radar gun ready, and I guess he wasn't too happy that I slowed down to about 60. But I think the speed limit on that was down at 6% grade or whatever. Those would be fast. But anyway, no, I think Gary, and you've had a similar experience, right, with your dad and with the orbs.
Exactly. Well, if I could comment on Melissa for a minute, it's interesting because after I started working with Joe, obviously I started to learn about her, and it's been interesting because she has come on most of our investigations, and she often offers her commentary, so it's often comical, so she'll put her 2 cents worth in at times, so we have a lot of fun with it. We definitely do.
I think you have to have fun. That's the key. You were talking earlier about, you know, talking about people being scared or something. You've
mm-hmm.
got to have a positive attitude, and you have to see yourself as a scientist and an adventurer. You cannot get into the emotional trauma because spirits mirror your energy. So if you are fearful and negative, they're going to communicate with you that way, and they will come across often fearful and negative.
This is Diane, if I may.
Sure.
You have a story in the second book that I just thought was so touching. And I think it's just titled, appropriately enough, Diane's Story.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes.
That's
I
a great
love
story.
That one.
Yeah, that's one that I always read at my lectures because it really mm-hmm. shows the spiritual side and what a more modern type ghost is. It's about a woman named Diane whose father died. It was very unfortunate. They thought he had cancerous polyps, and he had surgery done, and the doctor was quite overly confident, and he cut an artery, and the man bled to death, and he was in his early 60s. And from that point on, Diane started having communication with her father via street lamps, and she thought she was losing her mind. She would go under a street lamp, and it would go off. And then she'd drive, and then she'd go under another one, it would go off. So she started putting two and two together, and without mentioning anything to her husband or anybody else, she said, "Are you trying to communicate with me? If you are, blink twice." And the light actually went blink, blink. And she started using this form, and she eventually told her husband, and she said, "I want to show you this." He saw it. She proved it to a couple of friends who were actually very scared when they saw this because it became very precise. And it lasted for a long time, and she was able to communicate with her father, get information from him, and it's just an amazing story. And there was another incident where she was at the funeral parlor, and she had to pick out a suit for her father for the funeral parlor, and he had 150 suits. And she said, how am I supposed to pick which one? So she picks this gold one that was one of his favorites. It was handmade. And while she brought it to the funeral parlor, and she was talking to the director, and the director said that she needed three pieces of information: his military discharge papers, a Social Security card. And she had no idea where she was going to find this. I mean, in the house, she had no idea. She's playing with the jacket. And as it turned out, there were three pieces of information in the jacket. It was the military card, the Social Security card, and the pilot's license. And the funeral director said to her, he's never seen anything like this in his life happen. And he said, I wonder why the pilot's license. And she said, I know why, because my father was never sure he was going to get into heaven, so he took his pilot's license just in case. So that was kind of a cute story with it. But how it ended, I had asked her, Joe had asked, do you still have this form of communication with him? And she said, no, it stopped when her mother died. But she had communicated with her father by the street lamps for 6 years. And then after the mother died, it was as if he went off with her and was complete then, and the communication ended. And she was saddened by it. At first, she never had believed in ghosts and spirits and in anything paranormal until this had happened. And she found that she really did miss the communication afterwards when it had stopped.
Oh, how awesome. Well, so many times, just like that story, our loved ones, my father will show up, especially around the holidays, because that was his favorite, still is, favorite time of year. You know, I always ask for signs around the holidays, and he will always give them to me.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of signs does he give you, Joy?
The most recent, I got so many stories. Recently, back in May, I got some news, some medical news. Wasn't happy, was actually quite upset. And I remember sitting in my room and saying, okay, this is a big one, you know. I just need to know you're here, that you know about this, that you know what's going on. And my father will always show up with feathers. And they never find feathers here in California. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I had, you know, asked that night, I need to know that you're with me on this. And the next morning, you know, bright and early, I get up to take my dog Cody out for his, you know, first potty of the day. And no sooner, we're talking, you know, within 50 steps, there was a black feather that he always shows up. It was just laying there. He will show up with feathers. And have I seen a feather since? No.
Right.
So I remember just bending down, picking up the feather and going, thank you. I mean, he let me know he's there. He let me know that he knew what was going on, and he will always show up. He shows up for the holidays. I would always ask him. I'm very clairsentient, so I can feel the presence of when my father will show up for specific days, birthdays, holidays. And being very clairsentient, I will also know when spirits, earthbound, if they haven't crossed over, if they come to me. And so that is part of some of the work that I do, is assisting earthbound into the light.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's really interesting how you mentioned about the communication, because people ask me all the time, you know, how do I experience things, or why don't I experience things? And you have to be open to it, number one, and it also depends on where you're at on your own personal spiritual journey. But they communicate with us in ways, like you said, you have this special thing with him. It can be through music. It could be through a certain song that has meaning to it, or a song that you had meaning with the two people had a meaning with this one song. It could be with a smell, perfume, cigarettes. A certain food odor that appears out of nowhere. There's a lot of ways that they can communicate, and I tell people to just be open to it, and it will happen. And people are amazed on how it makes them feel when they do make that connection.
Absolutely. And being a medium and being very clairsentient, I do have many experience where those that know I can see them or sense them will come. And sometimes it's like, okay, I've got too many around. We have to cross them over because they can't. Like you said, it takes a lot for them to appear or just to be here, so they're drawing energy. And I have seen full-fledged earthbound.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And so it's interesting, the work that I do, you know, as far as crossing them over, and I know it's different from the paranormal investigator aspect of it.
Right.
So, but, you know, the two work well.
Yeah, definitely.
Period. Yeah.
Definitely, it's very interesting.
Excuse me. This is Diane again. I know what I wanted to talk to you about, and I had a chance to talk to you about this on Sunday when I had the wonderful opportunity to meet you. The possibility of a TV pilot.
Mm-hmm. Yes, this is Carrie Ann speaking. We have been working on a TV pilot based on the book. I guess we started it, I don't know, about a year and a half, 2 years ago. And with the popularity of the books, with what Joe and I do, part of what makes what we do work is the fact that we're so-called normal. It's been interesting when I first started talking about and lecturing on Ghost One, I'd appear at lectures and I would get strange looks from people and they would say to me, I'm sorry, but we expected Elvira, you're a soccer mom. And so that's part of what has made this work. And I say, yeah, I'm a regular person, I'm a mom. And so what we've tried to come across, unlike the other TV shows that are out there, that we are normal, everyday people that go out and try to connect with the spirit world. So what we did is we worked with producers for a year, and the pilot was shot at the Country House restaurant in Stony Brook, which is also very historical because we wanted to keep that thread in there with showing off Long Island history, per se. And we were in contact with the ghost of Annette Williamson, who is one of those spirits that died tragically and does tend to stay back at the country house, and she has not wanted to move on. They've had many people that have tried to move her on, but she doesn't want to. So we had filmed it there, and we had made connections, and it also shows the normal aspects of what Joe and I do when we're not doing ghost investigating. So originally we had planned to do this hoping that a local television station would pick it up as maybe a 10 or 12-week series. But by the time all was said and done with the filming and putting it all together, and of course the economy went down the toilet, and a lot of the local funding was cut from the local television show. So that sort of went by the wayside. But we are working with a film media consultant who's helping us to put together some proposals to see if maybe Discovery, History Channel, Travel Channel would be interested in having us do a two-hour documentary special that would focus on Long Island history and these ghost stories, because we're really trying to get away from the fact, people from all over the country, when they think of Long Island, they think of the Amityville Horror.
Mm-hmm.
And we're really, even though I had that in the first ghost book, we're really trying to promote that Long Island is more than the Amityville Horror. We have some rich history. We have a lot of things that go on here. I would say Long Island is as haunted and as spiritual as places like Cape May, New Jersey, and New Hope, Pennsylvania. So we're trying to get the word out. So we thought that if we had combined maybe another two or three stories from the book along with our original pilot, that we can showcase Long Island as a hot spot for paranormal activity, and that people could come and find out about these things here on the island. So we're sort of in the stages of that right now, trying to get things submitted. Because as you see, I mean, it's a hot topic, and there's, you know, so many ghost shows out there, so many documentaries on these stations, but there hasn't been anything specific to Long Island, number one. There hasn't been anything that really goes over the history of Long Island. And also, Joe and I work very different from these other shows, so we'd like to really highlight how we communicate and everything basically that we talked about tonight to really make it a different type of, you know, an experience for viewers.
so where do I write? Who do I get my letter campaign going? How can I
help
you?
Exactly. Get it out there. Exactly. Send it off to the networks. We need a show. I mean, people ask us that all the time. They say, when is the show coming out? Where can we watch it? And it, our half-hour pilot was accepted into the Long Island International Film Festival back in July. And we have had a couple of screenings. And we have played it at some of the lectures, and people love it. I mean, because they love the books, and they want more, and to be able to see a visual now that follows the book, I mean, Joe and I think it's great. So we hope that others will find it just as great.
I thought of another place that you guys could possibly look at, and
mm-hmm.
now it has completely escaped my mind.
Mm-hmm. There's still so many. That's what's amazing.
Gosh,
I have
sure.
readers that come up all the time. What about this? What about that? And that's basically how Ghost 2 came about, just from people contacting Joe and I, people coming up to me at lectures, readers writing in. It's really amazing. There's just so much out there. It could just keep going forever.
And, Joy, I just want to quickly add the chat room is filled to capacity. It is standing room only. We have so many newbies here. The feedback is awesome. They're so thrilled at the topic. Everything in the chat room is just fantastic. They're enjoying Carrie Ann and Joe. I'm trying to get them on the phone lines, but we seem to have some timid ones tonight.
It's funny because it takes them a while to come out of the chat room and onto the lines to talk with us. And, you know, I really was hoping we'd get people on the lines that would say they had some activity. We do have some activity going on, again, in the apartment.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have we cleared this place? And being a magnet, I mean, we're going to constantly get it. But it's interesting because the other night after dinner, you know, we were sitting down in the living room, and I was watching TV, and all of a sudden Alex says, you know, it just happened again. And I said, what? And he said, somebody, you know, the doorknob, like it's turning. And I said, oh, that's just the ghosts.
Right.
And, I mean, it's been happening for, you know, a long time, and I haven't really dealt with, okay, what's going on, and who are you, and let me get you crossed over. And he goes, oh, don't say that. But, you know, it's like, you know, I'm a ghost magnet. And the things that they have done has been actually quite amazing. And I was really hoping that we would get people on here that said, oh, I've got one. And Diane and I could offer our services. But that didn't happen. But the books are amazing. The books are amazing. And so remind the newbies that they can drop us a line at angeltalkcafe@yahoo.com and sign up for the notes from above. And we will be posting Carrie Ann's and Joe's websites on the blog on angeltalkcafe.com. And Diane is still hoping to get the pictures up of the grist mill. Is that the one, Diane?
Yes, and we do on the blog. There presently is a picture of Carrie Ann and Joe and myself when I met them this weekend at the book signing. And that's up on the blog site. So, yeah, you can all go look at me and go, oh. So that's what that
crazy.
She looks like. Can I tell you a funny story about that picture, too?
Mm-hmm.
I always, for some reason, think I am seeing people eye to eye. I always feel like I am the same height as the person that I'm speaking with. And I saw you, Carrie Ann, and I looked and I thought, you know, they know me as the extra small medium on the air.
Right.
I'm going to have to take my shoes off to, because I thought that you and I were the same height. I'm thinking, I need to take my shoes off next to you if we get a photograph. And I'm looking at the height of your heels, and I'm typically in my stilettos. I forgot all about it. And I laughed when I looked at that picture. I don't know if you saw it, but I'm in my 4-inch heels. I don't know what you had on, about 3 inches maybe.
Right.
And you're still a good head and shoulders above me.
That's so funny.
I don't know why I think I'm as big as I am.
We appreciated you coming very much, and you waited so patiently. Joe and I had a great crowd. We had about 53 people show up, and a lot of photos and different things. And so I really appreciate, Diane, that you hung around for that photo. I have it up on my professional Facebook site now and up on my website so people could take a look at it, too.
Oh,
so it was a great experience.
And you had children come out for that. I was surprised to see that there were children.
Mm-hmm.
They were older, though. They were like I don't know, 10, 12, right?
Right. We've had that. We've had that at a lot of places. Joe and I, for Ghost One, we were out at Borders Riverhead, and I love how Joe describes it, who he said that we were sitting around like almost campfire style. It was very it wasn't set up like our normal book signings. It was more like a meet and greet. We were there for the evening, and we were reading from the books. Now, when I wrote these books, I never intended it to be for children. I really was writing it for just an adult audience. And as time went on, though, I was approached by so many parents saying, thanking me. Number one, their children were reading, and number two, they were learning local history. That's always something, as I had mentioned, I'm a historian first, and I really want to get the word out on Long Island history. And the parents were saying that their kids were amazed. They recognized photographs in the book of places that they passed by every day and that they didn't know anything about. And what better way to learn about history than through a ghost story? And again, because we keep everything on the positive end about death and communication, it's not anything that's scary. So, I mean, we have a couple of spooky ones here and there, but generally the kids can handle it, and they have, and it makes us feel really great when we get some kids, and we had some come up to us and ask additional questions when we were signing their books, and they were really, really interested in it, and it makes us feel good.
Yeah, I was surprised. That was a nice group. It was a nice time. It was well run, and you know, you've interacted with everybody that was there, which is lovely. So if anybody has the opportunity to meet Carrie-Anne and Joe, I strongly urge you to go down and say hello and get your book signed. And by the way, the cookbook is excellent also.
Oh, thank you. I know, oddly enough, for your listeners, I am the co-author of an Italian cookbook that I had written with a man named Sal Baldanza, who owns Mr. Sausage in Huntington, and I get jokes all the time. Is it a haunted cookbook and this and that? But I do a couple of haunted restaurants and in the book, and that's been nice for Joe and I, because when we love doing investigations at restaurants, don't we, Joe? Because then we always end up getting a nice meal.
Oh, definitely. But it was funny when Carrie-Anne stood up at the book review, when the book came out, Sal was there, and it's kind of like they were introducing her. I was like, okay, this is Carrie-Anne, who's done is a ghost, you know, a ghost investigator, and has done all these haunted houses, and she's a cook. And I could see some of the ladies in the front row like, okay, like, ghost cookbook. What's the connection?
It's one of those funny things, and I'm someone that really loves everything that I do, and I had to get it out of my system. I always tell people, if I hadn't gone to school for photography and if I hadn't have been a writer, I would have become a chef and gone to culinary school. And so I throw people off sometimes when I'm doing a cooking, you know, somewhere I'm doing a cooking demonstration, I'm dressed in my chef's coat, and people recognize my big long name, and they say, wait a minute, didn't you write those ghost books? And they say, what are you doing? I said, well, today I'm a chef, tomorrow I'll be back investigating ghosts. So it's one of those things I had to get out of my system, but you know, we had good results with it. It was a lot of fun.
And for my fellow veg heads out there, there are many vegetarian recipes in the book.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Many of them. Yep. And beautifully photographed, I might add.
Thank you very much, Diane.
Okay, Diane, how are we doing in the chat room? Did we get a second winner for the second book?
I did get a second winner. I did, and it was going to a newbie.
Oh, awesome. Awesome, awesome. Mm-hmm. Remember to have them just send us the physical address, and we will have the authors go ahead and send it directly to them. Carrie-Anne and Joe, I want to thank you so much for being on the show tonight.
Oh, thank you, Joy and Diane. We had a wonderful time, and I hope everyone can go away from this with a little bit more information and understanding about the spirit world.
It's amazing.
And thank you. Thank you guys very much. It was really enjoyable to come on and talk about our favorite subject.
Thank you so much.
Carrie-Anne, thank you. And I look forward to talking again soon.
Sounds great.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Okay, Diane, our favorite subject.
Yeah, and we're getting thanks. It's Joe and Carrie-Anne. If you're still listening, they're thanking you in the chat room for being here. Great show, and that was fantastic. It was our favorite subject, wasn't it?
It is our favorite subject. Earthbounds just seem to be my thing.
Mm-hmm.
I actually would like to. I think Joe said something about he does take people on investigations with him.
Yeah.
It's like, I would love it to be a Ghostbuster and do a little bit of the paranormal, you know, along with how we work already with Earthbounds and mediumship.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be phenomenal. It would be a great combination, and which is exactly, it sounds like, what Joe does.
Well, maybe I should do that for homework and come back and report to the listeners that I went out with his group. I think it's Ghost Hunters of Long Island is his group, I think is the name.
Mm-hmm.
And, I would love that. Love that.
That would be cool. Diane, next week's show is with Karen, and what do we have planned for next week?
Karen is here, as always, the first week of the month, and she's going to be talking about angels in your everyday life. You know, sometimes we just get so caught up and so busy in our drama and our, you know, our busy lives and et cetera, and our angels are tapping us on the shoulder, and we're just missing it.
Mm-hmm.
So Karen's here to remind us how they're there every day, and sometimes you just need to take a short breather and say, I'm here, help me.
And recognize the signs, like you say,
that's
because the
right.
signs are always there. We sometimes just get caught up and we fail to see the signs, but the signs are always there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we do have Karen returning next week.
Mm-hmm. And on 11-11, and I love that number. You know, it's my favorite number. You're taking a well-deserved night off.
I am taking a night off and going to have fun.
That's right, and Karen will be back, and I will be here with her, and we're going to wreak havoc, because when the cat's away, the mice are going to play. Joy actually thinks we're doing a show about hearing all angels. Wait till she hears what we're doing.
Like, yeah, I guess that would be considered fair warning.
You've been warned.
I've been warned.
I kid. We are doing a show called Hearing All Angels. So here again, not only are they in our lives every day, but sometimes not only do we forget to recognize that they're around us, but sometimes we just need to stop and listen, and also listen for their advice. You know, when we do reach out, when we do need help, how to recognize that they are talking to us. I think some people expect that their angels are going to, I don't know, shout in their ear out loud, well, you asked, so here's your answer, and sometimes it does work that way, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But usually it's much more subtle, and you just need to learn how to listen. And we listen with our hearts and our feelings as well as our ears.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And I want to let everybody know that's in the San Diego area this Saturday, I am teaching a class titled Boo Hoo, Earthbound Spirits Revealed. At the Mystical Dragon in Carlsbad. So join me on Halloween for that class if you're living in the San Diego area. And I do have some upcoming classes in November, Reiki 1. And we had a show recently about Reiki. We had a lot of positive responses regarding that and got a lot of good feedback. And I will be teaching also about the chakras. Again, these classes being held at the Mystical Dragon. For more information, you can visit my website at angeltalkcafe.com, which I'm saying that thinking, you know, I haven't had it posted there. Contact number 619-226-2893 if you want to talk to me about the upcoming classes. Okay, Diane, great
yes.
show.
Yes.
I want to welcome the newbies and thank you for joining us tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And don't forget to, as always, ask your angels. Good night, everyone.
Good night, Joy. Good night, everyone.
Good night, Diane.